Nigeria, where people from other nationalities, they want to come with you into our nation, Nigeria, and experience what we're, the new experiences we'll be having in this nation. How many of you want to be a part of that? Hallelujah. So I call this one Great Concerns for a New Nigeria. And sometimes in 1986, one of the greatest influences to the Pentecostal, the emergence of the Pentecostal and charismatic movement that was emerging in Nigeria, which actually started to emerge from the beginning of the last century, led by the likes of Apostle Ayo Babalola of the CAC movement. But God brought a man of God, a British missionary, who came to Nigeria in 1937 with his wife and little daughter, who is still alive, serving as a missionary somewhere in Kogi State. We commonly refer to him as Pa S.G. Elton, Sydney Granville Elton. He came into this nation in 1937, when he was about the age of 30. And he served the Lord faithfully, actually in two segments of his life. The first 25 years he devoted to, he was involved with Christian work, but he devoted more to healthcare development, Christian healthcare development, and Christian scholarship, Christian schools. And the schools and the health institute is started in Southwest Nigeria. They're still functioning and thriving very well today. And then particularly in the last segment, the first 25 years, because in 1962, God called him and said, Sydney, the work I sent you to Nigeria to do, when are you going to start it? And Pius G. Elton responded and said, you can see the schools we have started. They're doing very well. You can see the what we call Wesley Hospital in Elisha was started by the influence of this great man of God. You can see the healthcare institute. He said, that's not what I sent you to do. I sent you to Nigeria to raise the next generation of leaders who will be leading the charismatic move in Nigeria. And so from about 1962, he changed his emphasis and focus. He started to raise young ministers. In those early days, he came across the likes of Archbishop Benson Idauza of blessed memory. He introduced Archbishop Benson to American church worlds and ministers, sent him to the United States of America for Bible school training in the early 70s, which the man of God did not complete, and all that. So he led and mentored the likes and fathered the likes of Pastor W.F. Kumuyi. You can see what he has done with the Deeper Life Movement. Pastor E.A. Adiboye, you can see what he has done with the Redeemed Christian Church of God movement. Barrister Emeka Nwapa, who is one of the foremost prayer apostles in the nation of Africa. And there was also Bishop Paul Nwachukwu, Grace of God Mission in Onitsha. And so many other great generals God used, God's servant, to raise and to mentor. And also to an extent, some claim he mentored and fathered Apostle Babalola, but that's not the case, because Apostle Babalola started a revival, which was very powerful from about 1929-1930, before the man of God came from Great Britain in 1937. But he mentored, he guided him, so that they can avoid some excesses that was coming with the movement. I've read quite some books about those revivals, but I said all that to bring your attention to this. About a few months ago, I think it passed on sometimes, I'm not sure, maybe January 1987, but sometimes 1987. But a few months before he passed, in 1986, he shared this prophecy. I have his biography, about a 400-500 page book in my library, and this was also shared there. But listen to this. He gave this prophecy concerning Nigeria sometimes in 1986. Nigeria and Nigerians will be known all over the world for corruption, Your name, Nigeria, will stink for corruption. But after a while, a new face will come. A face of righteousness. And people from nations of the earth will hold a Nigerian and say, we want to follow you to your nation to go and learn righteousness. Can I have a believing prophetic amen to that? Also, sometimes at the beginning of July 2021, the Lord spoke to me very strongly from Ezekiel chapter 37, from verse 1 to verse 14. I will not be reading the passage, but I have quite some journey, some distance to cover this morning. But you can note it down, but I will just share the highlights of what the Lord ministered to me about. Ezekiel chapter 37, from verse 1 to verse 14, was a vision God gave the prophet Ezekiel. We commonly refer to it as the Valley of Dry Bones and the vision he had there. And God summarized by bringing his attention, verse 13, verse 14, that look, what you see in that valley of dry bones depicts my people, the nation of Israel. They said our hopes are gone, our lives are buried. And God started to. But you see at the beginning of that passage, you see a valley of dry bones. Not only were the bones scattered and bones dry, they were bones of body parts of human beings, not animals, but the body parts of human beings. They were dried and they were scattered all over the valley. Valley also symbolizes a depressed location, which prophetically symbolizes depression. And the Lord called the attention of the prophet and asked him, can this bones leave? And God started to deal with me that what you see with the nation of Israel prophetically depicted there also has very great prophetic similarities with the nation of Nigeria. And God made me to realize a few things from the passage as prophetic parallels with Nigeria. Let me highlight a few things here. And I will just read from my notes to maximize the time. The case with Nigeria presently looks bleak, hopeless, and decisively so. Number one, scattered bones typifying strength and structure that is scattered beyond recognition and beyond redemption. That's what you find in that passage. Number two, you see the conditions looked dried up and buried. Yet the Lord takes a national prophet, because the mandate given to Ezekiel was not just to a location, was not just to a valley, was to the whole nation of Israel. He was raised as a prophet and as a watchman. And so you see conditions that look dried and buried, yet the Lord takes a national prophet and a watchman on a survey of the seemingly hopeless scenario. And the Lord inquires of the national prophet of the hopeless and scattered scenario. And you'll see the response of the prophet. Even the prophet had no response, had no answer. When the Lord said, can these bones live? A whole national prophet with a national stature, with national influence, who had had a pedigree preceding this scenario, even the national, spiritually influential man had no answer. He said, Lord, only you know. But you will see at the word of the Lord, at the authority and the release of the word of the Lord, you will see that stage by stage, the Lord, by the authority and the efficacy of his word, brought transformation to the valley representing a nation. In Ezekiel 37 representing Israel, and for us here today representing our nation Nigeria. You see, bones came together symbolizing a restoration of strength, symbolizing a restoration of structure. And breath came from the four winds and restored life to the slain. Slain you find in that passage, because when you read that passage, it talks about what produced the valley of dry bones. It said this slain. So slain showing that they did not die of natural causes. The lives were forcefully taken. Situations were forcefully taken. Economy did not die in a natural death. Family institution did not die in natural death. Infrastructural development did not die in natural death. He said, command, speak to the winds to breathe upon these slain, meaning lives and situations forcefully taken. You see, a mighty army arose from a valley of very dry and scattered bones. Hopelessness is transformed to a formidable and massive army. Friends, a new Nigeria is possible. A new Nigeria where things work, where there's 24-hour electricity, where we don't have to pray for electricity supply. We don't have to pray for pipe-borne water. I don't mean borehole water supply. Pipe-borne water. We don't have to pray for these things. Recent times, I think it was last Sunday, I was having a conference call with my immediate family. And then I told them that, excuse me, we have power outage. I have to go and change power source. And my son just started laughing. Because now that is not an issue for him. But what am I saying here? A new Nigeria where things work, where infrastructure works and develops as population increases is possible in Nigeria. I thought I would have a believing amen to that. A new Nigeria where structure and strength and opportunities for life and good living is possible. And it will happen in our lifetime. A new Nigeria where hope is restored again in every life and every segment of our national life. It will come to pass in our lifetime. Can I have a believing amen to this? Amen. And so we've established to us from a fortnight ago that a new Nigeria is possible, but a new Nigeria will require new Nigerians. A new Nigeria will require new Nigerians. We emphasized a change of orientation, a change of attitude, a change where the mentality of a typical Nigerian is money-based, money-influenced, money-captured, money-captivated. Such a change is required if we're going to experience a new Nigeria indeed. A new Nigeria requires new Nigerians. A new Nigeria requires new Nigerians. And I want to use examples from scripture to show us that the emergence of a new Nigeria out of an old country that we call Nigeria is possible. But why I also gave the apt title to these, my great concerns about a new Nigeria, is that it's not a new thing for a new nation to emerge out of the old. But if care is not taken, we will find the same traits, the same attitudes, the same orientation, the same destructive devices that destroy the old coming into the new. And so this morning, I'd like to focus a bit on the nation of Israel as they came out of Egypt. Egypt typifies an old system, an old nation. The Hebrews coming out, even though they were like house boys and house girls, they had no social standing, they had no social pedigree, they had no economic strength, as it were, until they borrowed from their neighbors and they plundered the economy of Egypt. The Hebrews coming out of Egypt also typifies the birthing of a new nation. But I want to call our attention to a few things here this morning. One of the greatest things the enemy can do amongst the people of God is to give freedom to the people. But make sure that the enemy's nature, the enemy's DNA, the enemy's constitution are still found within the ranks of the people who claim to be free and setting out to start a new nation. It must be noticed that though Israel came out of Egypt, they never really left Egypt in their minds. Number one, you will see that at every challenge the Hebrews kept, referring to Egypt. Every time they were faced with a water challenge, you know, they just overwhelmed Pharaoh and the host of Pharaoh at the Red Sea. And as they crossed the other side of the Red Sea, they sang a new song. Moses composed it. Miriam and the other women, they sang it. I will sing unto the Lord a joyful song. I will praise his name, for the Lord is good. And they sang songs about how Pharaoh and his host had perished into the sea. But listen to me, as they crossed to the other side and they started a new journey towards a new nation, towards the land of promise, they came to a point where they were all thirsty. They saw a collection of water. They went towards the water. They touched and they tasted the water, and they saw that the water was very bitter. And they called the place Marah. And the complaints started from that point. You'll find that in Exodus and chapter 15. Where they wanted water, they got bitter water, and they started to complain and lament to their leader because they lacked for water. And that's one example there. And then closely after that time, in Exodus chapter 16, you will see again, they were hungry, they wanted food, they wanted bread, and they started to challenge Moses. They started to complain to Moses. They said such things like, will it not have been better for us to go back to Egypt where we ate abundant food? We ate garlic and cucumber in abundance. Exodus chapter 16, as we get on here this morning. Exodus chapter 16, I read from verse 1. To verse 3. And they journeyed from Elim, where they had taken water and turned the bitter waters of Marah turned to sweet waters at the instruction of the Lord to Moses. He said, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the pots of meat. And when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. As we embark on this short journey this morning, I'd like us to begin to look at ourselves as typical Nigerians when we are faced with challenges. In one segment of the society or the other, it could be an economic challenge. It could be an infrastructural challenge. It could be electricity supply challenge. How do we respond? What do we do? What do we say? Because if there's going to be a new nation, there must be a new mentality. And so these people here, they started to complain and immediately compared with where they were liberated from by the mighty hands of God. We started to say, oh, how we had sat back. In fact, if we had died in Egypt, it would have been better than this. You see, furthermore, when you read in Exodus chapter 17, again, the lack for water. When you read from verse 1 to verse 3, the nation lacked for water. They started to complain again. Let me read that as well. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. He said, but there was no water for the people to drink. Verse 2. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained. Look at that again. Please help me with the scriptures on the... I'd rather see the scriptures than see myself on the TV screen. And the people complained. All right. He said, no. Exodus chapter 17, verse 3 now. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Does this sound strange to typical Nigerian mentality? Hello, friends. Does this sound strange to typical Nigerian mentality? When we are faced with challenges, it's not strange. You might not want to answer, but I can answer for us Nigerians. We easily complain. We easily murmur. We easily talk, against leadership. You see, the biggest problem we will have in Nigeria is not even just getting the right leader and making our votes to count. Are we going to support the leader when we are faced with a challenge? When we are faced with a situation, are we going to support the leader and help the leader to ride through initial? Because the solution for a new Nigeria, even with the best choice of leaders, will not happen in an instant. We cannot destroy system over 40 years and expect that over 40 days it will be changed. No, it is easier to destroy than to build. And so you will see here, one thing they did repeatedly was to complain about their situation, complain about their need, complain about their circumstances, complain against the leader, contend against the leader. If we're not going to have the experience of the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, like Nigerians with an old mentality seeking a new Nigeria, these are lessons we need to learn from these people. Furthermore, you will see they often provoke their leaders with complaints and comparisons with where they were coming from. Oh, the Nigeria was better at this time. Oh, things were better for us at this time. So you will see here, they consistently complained and also compared their present state of transition with where they were liberated from in Egypt. Please, let phones be shut down. Or you put it on silent. If you are doing something, your work is sensitive or something. All right. So let me make a little bit of progress here. So you see, they often provoke their leaders with complaints and comparisons with Egypt. You find that in Exodus chapter 32, they lamented, they complained. And furthermore, another thing I'd like to call attention to here, you will see once leadership is out of sight, they are not able to perceive leadership. They are not able to see leadership. They want to get alternatives for themselves in order to be able to go back to Egypt. You will read in Exodus chapter 32, God was giving great encounters to Moses from Exodus chapter 24 onto Exodus chapter 31 upon the mountain. And while he was away, what did the people do? They said, as for this man, Moses, this is the man who led them out. This is the man who brought them out of 430 years of captivity and bondage and servitude. This is the man who staked his own life to stand before Pharaoh. You don't do such things before Pharaoh and survive it. Moses survived it because the hand of God was upon him. But look at what they said to Moses, to Aaron, when they couldn't see Moses just for how many days? Just for 40 days. He said, as for this man Moses, we don't know what has become of him. And really, we don't care. Some of the most difficult people to lead on the face of the earth are Nigerians. Especially with the old mentality. A mentality of entitlement. A mentality of ownership where you don't even have any claim. A mentality of seeking to get so much and give so little. What made America great? The likes of their leaders told them, don't seek what America will do for you, but seek what you can do for America. Nations become great not by taking mentality, but by a giving mentality. Even as a foreigner, if you will go through the process of becoming an American citizen, because they will test you, they will train you, they will interview you, they will do security background checks on you. By the time they hand over to you the passport of American citizenship, you will find that yourself, you are willing to stake your life for that nation. And you are not even a member of the armed forces. Because of the training, because of the indoctrination, because of the consciousness they stir up in their citizens. America is ready to mobilize their whole weapon of warfare for one citizen that is maltreated. But for them to do that is because their citizens also stake their lives, stake their skills, stake their abilities for the nation. How many of us want Nigeria great again? I mean, you want a new Nigeria that is great? Shout hallelujah. We must be ready to stake something. We must be ready to give something. We must be ready to give, probably even up to our lives, for the emergence of a new Nigeria. Now we see people who want to rob this nation blind and take the money abroad. Money they might not even have access to. Want to rob the country blind, do all manner of bad things against the nation, and take the money abroad in hope that they will go and enjoy the largesse in a foreign land. Do you know how many of our leaders, do you know how many of our citizens have stolen money and taken to secure banks of Liechtenstein and secure banks of Switzerland, where once they die, there is even no more access to such funds? A new Nigeria is not enough as a mantra. A new Nigeria is not enough as a complaint. We must be ready to stake something. We must be ready to do something about it. Can I have a believing amen in the house? So I said here, out of sight leadership prompted a desire for and a performance of idolatry. Look at Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32 from verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods, that is idols, that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this is the deliverer, this is the liberator, this is the leader, this is the visible presence of God in their midst. Look at the way they talked about him here. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And really, I would like to add, we don't really care. We know what to do. Next verse. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. And so all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. Next verse. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded calf. Then they, who? The leader. Who? The people. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Friends, don't just think of an event of about 5,000, 6,000 years ago. These values, this orientation, this mentality is still with us here today. And if we carry this out of an old country, Nigeria, to bring into a new nation, Nigeria, what happened to these people can happen to us. Let me quickly summarize this here. Let me give us one or two more points and then summarize things here. You will see that they attributed the mighty works of God, like in the passage we just read, the mighty works of God in their midst. They attributed them to the idols. Because where did they get molten calf from? They got those things from Egypt. The mighty things God did in their midst, they attributed to other things. They attributed to idols. They attributed to the idols of their captivity of 430 years. Listen to me. Out of all the people who came out of an old nation, Egypt, to go into a new nation, the land of promise, out of the whole generation, particularly the adults, more than 600 foot soldiers, men, not to count the adult women. So if you put that side by side, that means at least about 1.2 million adults. Not to talk of the children, because it is commonly believed that about 2.2 million people to 3 million people came out of. Because when you talk of the adults, you are talking of people 20 years and above. How about the people 20 years and below? So it can be believed that out of about 1.2 million adults that came out of Egypt, only Joshua and Caleb got into the new nation. And what happened? The things that befell. Go and study. Time will not permit me to get into that. Go and study 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, but with many of these people, he said, the Lord was with you as a pillar of cloud by day. He said, you drank from that rock, and that rock was Christ. He said, but with many of these people, God was not well pleased. What will make a nation liberated by God, delivered by God, with a hope of a new nation where status changes from house girls and house boys to becoming landowners, lands you did not have, wells you did not dig, where you will eat bread without scarceness? What will make the same God take 1.2 million people out and retain only two of that generation to get into the land of promise? Their bones littered the whole wilderness because of wrong mentality, wrong orientation, wrong disposition towards leadership, wrong disposition towards challenges, wrong attitude about their circumstances. And God was not well pleased with that generation. Friends, I'd like to challenge us as I bring you to the last segment of our discourse here today. If we are going to have a new Nigeria, what lessons can we learn from the nation of the Hebrews that came out of Egypt to go into the land of promise, which the Lord promised them? What will make God to liberate a people? When you study in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23, he said he brought them out and led them through that he might bring them into the land of promise. Three things there. He brought them out to take them through the wilderness that he might bring them into the land of promise. He brought them out, but only two got to the new place and new identity and new location God had in mind for them. If what happened to the liberated people, the Hebrews that came out of Egypt, will not happen to us, we have to think differently. We have to respond to leadership differently. We have to respond to challenges differently. We have to respond to circumstances differently. Does it mean you deny the obvious? Does it mean you sweep your challenges under the carpet? No, sir. No, ma. Yes, you will need water. You come to bitter waters. The next thing is not complain. The next thing is the same God who visited Egypt and Pharaoh with 10 mighty signs. It's just to call on the same God. Rather than complain, rather than lament, rather than say, as for this leader, as for this man, we don't even know what has become of him. Make us idols of gold, like we knew in Egypt. And so, in closing here quickly, I'd like to bring to our attention what can be done differently. If a new Nigeria will not remain a mirage, if a new Nigeria will not remain a pipe dream, if a new Nigeria that the possibilities of it we can see ahead prophetically by the likes of what SGLTN shared, by the likes of what I've shared that the Lord dealt with me about on the emergence of a new Nigeria, if it will not just be a pipe dream, if you will partake of the good of the land, if you will be a part of the new Nigeria, if you will be a beneficiary of the new Nigeria, quickly here, what can be done differently? Number one, let us learn to put our trust in God. Men may come and go, situations may come and go, democracies may come and go, but God is constant. He said, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let us build our trust in the living God. You are faced with a challenge of a setback. You are faced with a challenge. You need water. It's not available. You are faced with a challenge of you need water, but the water you find is bitter. Let us trust God. Let us demonstrate faith in the living God. Hear what the scriptures has to say here. about trusting in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3. I'd like to read from verse 5 to verse 8. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You think this is the way to do it. You think you have it figured out. You feel if you put this person in office, he will be the best thing whoever served you. If you cannot find God in man, such a man may disappoint. It is the help of God that is sure. When he said, pray for kings and for all that in authority, 1 Timothy chapter 2, for kings and all that in authority, it didn't necessarily mean that we're going to have the best men leading over us. But if you trust God through the leadership, God is able to walk the hearts of kings as the waters of the rivers as it pleases him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In your family ways, acknowledge him. In your finances, acknowledge him. In the choice of who to vote for into office, acknowledge him. In the choice of who to support in leadership, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. He goes on to say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So number one, trust in the Lord. As we seek the emergence of a new Nigeria, as we pray for the emergence of a new Nigeria, as we prophesy the emergence of a new Nigeria, I appeal to us, regardless of your social standing, regardless of your age or gender, regardless of the present space you find yourself in, let us learn to build our trust in the living God. Furthermore, it's not enough to trust in the Lord. Let us embrace the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is different from the way of the world. God does not see as men see. Men look on the outward. Men look at what men promise. Even though the men promising, they know in their hearts that they set in motion to deceive. But God looks on the heart. And so when we follow the way of the Lord, it minimizes the disappointment system of men in the affairs of our lives. Are you still in here? Let us embrace the way of the Lord. Let us embrace his character in our lives, in our thoughts, in our affairs. Let us embrace his wisdom in our dealings. The wisdom of God can look stupid sometimes. When God tells you to forgive someone who genuinely hurt you, offended you, the normal thing is eyes for eye, teeth for tooth. But God says, forgive, even as your heavenly Father forgives. That is superior wisdom. The Bible talks about the wisdom that comes from above. When we read in James chapter 3, from verse 13 to about verse 17, it talks about that wisdom is peaceable. It is easily entreated. It brings forth good fruits in those who are exercised by it. I appeal to us in embracing the way of the Lord. Let us embrace the wisdom of God. Can I have an amen in the house? Amen. And furthermore, let us embrace God's principles. I am seeing a generation emerging out of the church as someone who represents the constituency of the church. Church is almost being turned to a social club. So, and church is almost being turned to a get-together zone. And church is gradually being taken from its biblical function of being the pillar and the ground of the truth. And church is gradually being shifted away from a place where men can come and the secrets of their hearts are exposed and the evil in their hearts, they are convicted of the evil thoughts and the evil devices in their hearts. Now we want church where we hear what we like to hear. Now we want church where we have fun, where we enjoy ourselves. Unfortunately, with the young generation, have a wrong concept of the church. The church is not an enjoyment zone. The church is not a cinema district. The church is a point of interface with a holy God, an awesome God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, our heavenly Father. It's a place we approach with reverence. It's a place we approach with humility. It's a place we approach prepared before we come. We are going to meet a holy God. We're going to hear the voice of a holy God. We're going to receive instructions from a holy God. Let us retain the original mandate, the original purpose of the church of the living God, where Jesus builds his church and the gates of hell do not prevail against it. Are you still in here today? You will see in embracing the way of the Lord, it was what set Abraham for
not just pioneering a new nation, to lead that new nation. Hear what God had to say about Abraham here. Genesis chapter 18 from verse 17. He said, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Somebody say, we are going to have a great Nigeria. Say, we are going to have a mighty Nigeria. But look at the scriptural blueprint for it here. Abraham will surely lead. Abraham will surely become. Abraham will surely pioneer. When God called him, according to scriptures, Genesis chapter 12, come out of your kindred, your family, your nation, to a place I will show you. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. In you, the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham became a pioneer of that when God found these values in Abraham. Get back to that. Genesis chapter 18 from verse 17. He said here, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And look at the qualities that position God to have to fulfill his promise of making Abraham to come out of an old nation to lead a new and great nation. For I have known him. May the Lord know you. As a candidate for a new Nigeria, may the Lord know you. May the Lord appoint you. As a citizen for a new Nigeria, may the Lord appoint you. May the Lord shortlist you. As a leader for the new Nigeria, may the Lord shortlist you. I have known him in order that he may command. The things to do to be a part of a new nation is not subject to negotiation. They are not suggestions. That he may command. That he may command his children and his household after him. To what intent, to what purpose? That they keep the way of the Lord, the character of the Lord, the principles of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord. And what will he produce in their lives? To do righteousness and justice. And what results will come to them? That the Lord may bring to Abraham what he had spoken to him. What did he speak to him? Read Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to verse 3. I will make you great. I will make you lead a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. In you all the families, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham's secret towards coming to a new and great nation was that he kept and taught and modeled the way of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 makes us, and verse 29 makes us to understand. He says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Number three thing to do differently if we're not going to come out of Egypt, an old nation like the Hebrews, with the plan of coming to a new nation in the land of promise to dislodge the giants in the land and give to this bunch of house boys and house girls who had been trained through the wilderness phase. If we are going to do differently in order to have different results, rather than have 1.2 million adults leave Egypt and have only two of them come into the land of promise, we desire that as many of us as are in here, we have been part of an old country, Nigeria. We will be a part of a new nation, Nigeria, with our children with us, with our households with us, with the people under our influence with us. Shout amen. Amen. If you want that, then we have to learn to follow the Lord fully. No negotiations. No, okay, I like this, I will do it. I don't like that, it's not convenient for me, I discard it. No. Jesus followed fully. Moses followed fully. Abraham followed fully. David followed fully. Those who came to great stature and the great promises of God, they followed the Lord fully. Look at what God had to say about Caleb and Joshua, the only two who came out of the old as adults and got into the new in the land of promise. Numbers chapter 14 from verse 22 to verse 24. And God was speaking to Moses about these people. He said, because all these people who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to test now, these 10 times, they try me, they test me, they provoke me. He said, and have not heeded my voice. You want the new, heed God's voice. You want the new, follow the Lord fully without negotiations. He said, they certainly shall not see the land. They've heard about it. They came out of the old with the intention of getting into it. But he says, certainly they shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers. Nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb. When that but is written, may your name be found in that clause. When that but is determined, may your name be found in that clause. But my servant Caleb, in fact, put your name there. But my servant Mofoluasho Olatunji Akinola, don't worry, just put my name there. But my servant Mofoluasho Olatunji Akinola, don't be selfish, just put my name there. But my servant Mofoluasho Olatunji Akinola, he said, because he has a different spirit, he does not follow the tide, he does not do follow, he does not follow social media. He does not receive gospel from social, according to social media. He follows me. As long as what they project in social media opposes the counsel of the Lord, he discards social media and embraces the Lord. Back to the scripture passage, please. He said, because he has a different spirit in him and has done what? Followed me fully. Don't follow God conveniently. Don't follow God haphazardly. Don't follow God just to your convenience. Some of us, we have to drop some habits. Some of us, we have to drop some evil thoughts. Some of us, we have to drop some boyfriends. Some of us, we have to drop some girlfriends. Some of us, we have to drop some business propositions. Because it violates the ethics and the etiquettes of the kingdom. And has followed me fully. Friends, a great Nigeria is coming out of this country. A new Nigeria is coming out of this country. But we will be the architects and the midwives of the process. Because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring, no matter the storms along the way, no matter the reptiles along the way, no matter the desert along the way, no matter the hardship along the way, no matter the scarcity along the way, the same things all these complaining people faced in the wilderness, Caleb also faced. Joshua also faced. Moses also faced. What made them to get it right? They had a different spirit. They followed the Lord fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Friends, let us lay a good inheritance, a good legacy for our children, for our children's children, for our nephews and nieces, for the younger generation that is coming after us. Let them not question us and we have no answers. Let them not tell us, how can you be in Nigeria? Nigeria turned out like this. We want a new Nigeria. These are some things to do differently. Follow the Lord fully. Another one here, I'd like to, as I round up here this morning. Another thing to do differently, we have to be courageous in adversity. Who told you great nations just happened? Who told you great nations were products of a magical wand? No. Great adversity is a refinery for greatness. Great adversity is a refinery for greatness. Show me a man who has come to a great estate, who has come to an estate in greatness, in righteousness. I show you a man who has been through adversity. Name them in scriptures. From Abraham to Moses to David, you will see great adversity. David, his own children chased him out of the throne, chased him out of the city in his old age. They took the throne, they took the seat, they took the palace, they took Zion, they took the city of David, drove him out. He trekked on leg for kilometers. One thing he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. They may take the throne, they may take my popularity, they may misrepresent me, they may do terrible things. He said, but Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do you think it was fun when Abraham came out of certainty of Terah's house where he ate food freely at any time? He must have come from at least an upper middle class family. Now he said, go to a place, I will show you. He has not even shown him. Just take a step of obedience and then I will give you further instruction along the line. How about challenge for children? How about the challenge of the Egyptian woman in his house? What's the name? Hagar. How about the challenge of his nephew being captured in the battlefront? Challenges are refineries for greatness. There is a greatness on the inside of you. For you, it may be greatness in family. For you, it may be greatness in finance. For you, it may be greatness in artisanship. It is through the refinery of adversity that greatness is born. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is not from the Lord, if I may say. Because what he tells me is that those who know their God, they will be what? They will be strong. And strength is still potential, but they will deploy the potential to do exploits. He said, if in the day of adversity, you faint, you fall, you collapse. He said, it'd be like, say, the enemies of my father's house, they've located me again in Port Harcourt. So you are Jakwa because enemies have come. Is it light that runs from darkness, or darkness is chased away by light? If you faint in the day of adversity, adversity can come to you through your finances to check your constitution. Are you of the Lord? Are you on the Lord's side? Or you are easily flustered by the circumstances of life? Adversity can come to you through your health. Adversity can come to you through your marriage. Adversity can come to you through your place of work. Adversity can come to you. You have a first class 5 years after first class, after distinction. No job. Nobody wants to employ you. Be like, say, God, don't forget me here. Don't be like the complaining generation. They don't get into the land of promise. Whatever your lot, turn to the Lord and worship him. It is good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth. To suffer it quietly while he's going through that phase. Stop lamenting at every storm. Stop lamenting at every challenge. Take your challenge to the Lord and ask the Lord, have mercy. Shorten this process. He said, except the days be shortened, even the elect will not be saved. It is better you turn to him and ask him, shorten this process, than to start questioning him, why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why not you? I need to close. So, be courageous in adversity. And lastly here today, choose and support right leaders. Can you imagine if Jesus was not supported? Can you imagine if Paul was not supported? Choose and support. Let it not be at the slightest policy somersault. You begin to say, I regret following, I regret voting for this, I regret supporting it, I regret using my social media data and space to campaign for this person. No, it's not done like that. Can a nation be built in one day? No, as soon as Zion travel, meaning there will be a traveling. Choose your leaders right and choose right leaders and support them. Great things will not happen in an instant, especially where things have been destroyed, things have been bastardized, ancient destruction. The Bible calls in Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 62, it calls it the desolation of many generations. Isaiah 58 and Isaiah chapter 60. The desolation. Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 58. The desolation of many generations. You think someone will suddenly come, sit on the throne? I remember when this current sitting president was coming in, he said, the fear of this man is even already regulating. People are already confessing. People, forex is already coming down. Then 2 months along the line, he saw that. Support your leader. Can you imagine we have a church like this and then the pastor is not supported? That pastor becomes an endangered species. Thank God I have people who support me in this house. You can imagine you have a church and the pastor is not supported. Any little thing, you see. Any little thing, we talk him. Hey, you're contoning on. Sorry, apology. I'm remembering a message from my pastor from many years ago. What are we saying here? Once you choose a leader, you choose a husband over you, miracle will not happen overnight. Support that leader. You choose to work in an organization. You knew the CEO. You knew his escapades. Don't let it just be the lure of money and your pay packet that takes you into the place. Once you have seen the structure, you go there. Support the leader. And probably God can use it to help him overcome whatever frailties there are. You want a new Nigeria? Let us choose and let us support the leader. Let it not be. Look at Moses. Any little, when he was doing the miracles, they were happy. When there was light in their camp and there was darkness in the whole of Egypt, they said, this Pharaoh will take that. We get superior power. What did he take us for? He just they use us all these years. You know they pay. You know they pay. You know be a better person. Makele, am I getting my pigeon right today? But listen, when they came out and then they got to the Red Sea, no means of advancement. They look back, they were hearing budu, the chariots, the horses. They shouted out, Moses, you this man, we told you leave us in Egypt. What did Moses do? He lifted up his eyes to God. God said, what are you calling on me? What's it that in your hand? Point it to the sea. They crossed to the other side by a miracle. Yet you saw water, you tasted it, it is bitter. Maybe you have malaria, you need quinine content. Just swallow this thing. I started complaining. Let me close. Support your leader. Miracles may not happen overnight. Support your leader. Support him with your prayer. Support him with your support. Support him with your resources. Support him with your marketing. Support him with good counsel. Support him by defending him. Even though you call him to the closet, oh God, you for not talk like that in the way you talked at that time. But defend him in public space. You cannot go into a new nation when you are forever loggerheads with the right leader that has been set over you. Let's take a bow tonight and this morning. So we can see new Nigeria is not just going to be a mantra. There is work for every one of us. Change of mentality, change of orientation, change of attitude, change of disposition, change of attitude towards money. Stop gauging people just by money. Stop determining who will lead you just on the basis of money. Stop determining who you will marry just on the basis of money. Stop determining the kind of people you associate with just on the basis of money. Stop determining those you will give opportunities just on the basis of money. Stop determining those you will put in leadership just on the basis of money. We have a very monetized society in this country, Nigeria. It needs to change. It needs to change. Please let me project 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Bayeshanda Rosso Pregdela Batiani. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses, that is the doctrine of Moses, the teachings of Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We can move faster, please. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most, if I can say all except two, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies, coming out of the old of Egypt to go into the new of the land of promise, the land of the Gagashites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all that, those nations, he said, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Lastly, verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not. And you see several things listed in that passage. I'd like you to pray for yourself. Lord, start with me. The birthing of a new nation. Start with me. A new orientation for a new nation. Start with me. A new mentality for a new nation. Start with me. In my thoughts, in my relationships, in my attitudes, in my pursuit for material possibilities. Start with me. Start with me. Jesus came into the world to raise a new nation. a holy nation, a royal priesthood, to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But you see, just like with in the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, you see many believers who don't speak in tongues, the works of carnality has taken up residence in many of us. We allow bad thoughts, we allow evil associations. Some of us, we still go to nightclub and do terrible things in nightclub. And when you come to church, you see your fellow nightclubbers, you signal yourselves in unrighteousness. And you want a new thing. And you are clinging to the old. Let's pray for mercy today. Let's pray for mercy today. Father, we thank you for your presence in this house this morning. We thank you for the liberty of the Spirit. We thank you for the possibilities and the prophecies and the promises of a new Nigeria. Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have of being able to be part of the new Nigeria you are bathing in the Spirit and downloading upon the earth. Lord, walk in each of us, men and women, young and old, single and married alike. Help us to deal with weaknesses. Help us to deal with wrong hearts. Help us to deal with wrong attitudes. Help us to deal with complaining hearts. Help us to follow you fully, that we may see before our very eyes in our day the emergence of a new nation, Nigeria, where people of other nations will say, we want to go with you. We want to learn righteousness. We see your way in righteousness. We see your exaltation by righteousness. We want to go with you. Walk this into the fabrics of our lives and birth a new nation, Nigeria, in our lifetime. Thank you, Father, because we are prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I step down, is someone here?